As you know, there was a massive 121-page bill that passed in the Senate and the House last week in Connecticut. And there was a lot in this bill that the governor is still working through, actually. But something in particular that was brought to our attention was pension offset language. And it became very clear in more of the more conversations we were having with guests on the show, including Joe DeLong of CCM, was that this certainly related to and was probably prompted in at least one municipality regarding firefighters. And it's not as cut and dry as it may seem. There's a lot to this. And so we today have Peter Brown joining us on the show, recommended twice on my show last week publicly to talk about this, president of the Uniformed Professional Firefighters Association of Connecticut. And Peter, before I come to you, thank you for being on the show, by the way. Always appreciate it. I wanted to just
Good morning.
I wanted to replay just a very quick snippet from Joe DeLong last week, which, again, I think will help people understand how we got to this conversation with you today, but also why Peter Brown might be the perfect person to talk to about this. So take a listen. This is Joe DeLong from, again, CCM, and he's talking about why the pension offset language can be dangerous in this bill across the state of Connecticut, and really hinting that this is more of a local issue, something that local municipalities should be taking up versus having it become a state matter. Take a listen.
Peter could really articulate as to why that they believe that this should be done and this is the right thing. But here's what I'll say. As an election issue, as something that was important to that community, the firefighters went out, and this was a major point during the election cycle, and the voters in Stratford made a change, as you know, in terms of mayor. And as a collectively bargained issue, if it was important enough to the people of Stratford to change it, then let it change through that process. Let it change through collective bargaining. Let the new mayor who came in, who maybe campaigned more closely with the firefighters, let him do his job and collectively bargain with those firefighters locals. And, you know, in the next contract, make the adjustments. What the General Assembly decided to do was to come in and take a process, a collective bargaining process that they claim is sacred, and swoop in an emergency bill and override contracts that were collectively bargained in good faith. That is an awful precedent, number one. And number two, it also creates a great deal of trepidation on a municipality side going forward when it comes to collective bargaining, because they start to say it doesn't matter what we do, because whatever they don't get, they'll just go around us and go to the legislature to get.
So again, this was Joe DeLong talking from the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, sounding the alarm about slipping pension offset language into Senate Bill 298. And we have on the show with us Pete Brown, who's been on the show many times before. And Pete, we love getting your perspective again, president of the Uniformed Professional Firefighters Association of Connecticut. What is your response to what Joe DeLong is talking about?
No, and Melissa, thank you for having me on this morning. And I had a chance to listen to Joe's full interview last week. And I'll start off by saying I think he said something similar. We have a very good relationship with CCM, our organization, and the Conference of Connecticut Municipalities. We've gotten to the point where we collaborate on a lot of issues. We're actually in alignment on a lot of issues, which would probably surprise some people. But occasionally, there's issues where we disagree. Pension offsets is clearly one of them. And, you know, but the conversation is always civil. We always state our disagreements. We put our positions out there. It never gets nasty. And you know, we try to settle it the best we can through the legislative process. And I think that's the way this was handled. So, you know, I think there's a lot of, I'll say this, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about pension offsets and what this language actually does. And, you know, I know Joe stated this was a collective bargaining agreement, and you know, I don't 100% disagree with that. I think a fire local from any municipality out there could obviously sit at the table and bargain over this. But our position, and it's been our position for the last 10 years that we've been working on pension offsets, which is pretty crazy. Our position is this is a misinterpretation, misunderstanding of state statute. And so to have individual locals all across the state need to go to the bargaining table and bargain over something that they should be entitled to anyway just seemed crazy to us. So, you know, you can handle something at the bargaining table, but we also have the avenue. We see a systemic problem that is going across many, many locals across the state of Connecticut. There's always the opportunity to fix things legislatively. And you know, I'd love the opportunity to kind of try my best to explain pension offsets in a very brief manner to you and to your listeners, because it is a little bit of a technical, complex issue.
It is. And this is exactly why I wanted to have you on, Peter, because first of all, that's how my show works, is I like to have all sides of a story on so we can get a full picture of it. And I think you already started to explain something that I kind of kept coming back to in both my conversation with Joe DeLong, as well as State Representative Ben McGordy about this, who voted in favor of this. The thing that I has become an issue, certainly, and we've seen this in the news in the last few years, is, you know, municipalities stepping up financially to support firefighters in particular. Now, I want to first ask, with the pension offset, is this specific to firefighters, or does it also cover other industries, if you will, other places of work?
No. So, yes, it could cover of other industries. It's basically the interaction of a disability pension benefit and how that works with the state's workers' compensation benefits. That's really what it boils down to. And like I said, it's a misunderstanding, I believe, with the way the statute's written about how the workers' compensation benefits work. And if you'd like me to, I'll try to explain it in a minute or two, if that
Please.
Works.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So just to give you a quick primer for those that aren't super familiar with it, the state has a pretty comprehensive workers' compensation plan. That's a system that's set up to address a worker, any worker in any field across the state of Connecticut that's injured at work. It's a protection plan that's put in place. It makes sure their job is protected for the period of time that they're out injured. It makes sure that they're not reduced in pay. They're not transferred. Nothing bad happens to them when they're out injured with a workplace injury. It also provides wages to them through a workers' compensation fund, and it provides medical expenses for them so that a worker can sit home, get treated, get surgery, go through therapy, whatever they need to deal with that injury, and hopefully get back to work fully healed and operating at 100%. So that's the main piece of workers' compensation. There's also a second piece of workers' compensation. When a worker is fully or close to fully recovered, they reach a point which doctors claim is maximum medical improvement. That means I've gone through all my treatments, I've gotten surgery, I've done everything I needed to do, and then they said, listen, Peter, this is the best you're going to get. You're as healed as you're going to get, but we also believe the injury that you sustained has caused you a permanent disability that you're going to have to live with the rest of your life. So let's say I fell and hurt my back at work, went through anything I needed to do. A year from now, I went through all my treatment. I believe I was as good as I was going to get. That doctor can actually perform some tests and rate me and say, hey, we believe you have a 10% permanent disability to your back after this injury. Your back will never be the same as what it was prior to your injury. And that 10% rating is entitled to an award from the Workers' Compensation Fund. So let's just use a round number. 10% back injury, there's a formula and there's a whole complex way they figure it out. Let's say that's worth $10,000. That means that any worker in the state of Connecticut that has a 10% disability to their back from a workplace injury would be entitled to that $10,000 payment, permanency payment. It's an award for the injury they sustained.
Okay.
So what a pension off. So that kind of is the primer on workers' compensation. What the pension offset language is there's language out there, and it's in some pension agreements. There's some state language also that states that a worker can't make more than 100% in retirement. And I think I agree with that. I'm sure most people, I'm sure you would believe that, like, you shouldn't get enriched in retirement. If I was making X amount of dollars, I shouldn't make more than that in retirement.
Mm-hmm.
What the interpretation over the last 10 years has been is they've said, well, we believe we can reduce your pension. We can offset your pension because of that permanent partial disability award that you were awarded. And it's been our position, and it's, we've had our labor attorneys look at it. We've had people look at it. We've taken cases to actually, to arbitration in the state. And what the arbitrators have said is the language is that we understand your point. The language in the statute doesn't say they can or can't do it. So we don't have the ability to rule on this. What you need to do to address this is actually have clearer language in the state law. And all this pension offset language does is state that you cannot apply a worker's, any worker's permanent partial award that every worker in the state of Connecticut would be entitled to. You can't apply that to offset that employee's pension.
We're chatting with Pete Brown, president of the Uniformed Professional Firefighters Association of Connecticut, and trying to better understand the language about pension offset and certainly how it applies to state workers, but, you know, especially firefighters. One thing I wanted to talk about, Pete, is if I understood you correctly, in the most layman term possible, so this needed to be fixed, if I'm understanding you correctly, this language needed to be fixed at the state level in order to allow municipalities to have an easier time negotiating, managing, for example, fire personnel. Is that a fair way of putting it or no?
No, I think that's close. I think what it does is it clarifies how the workers' compensation program should interact with their, maybe their firefighters, maybe their police officers, but their disability pension benefits. And I think that's all it does. It just clarifies how they apply a disability pension to the interaction with the existing Connecticut workers' compensation program. And just clarifies exactly how those payments should process. And I just add quickly, if I could, there's been a lot of talk about costs and
yes,
and impact on municipalities.
That was my next question.
Okay. Sorry to jump ahead.
Why? You're perfect. No, you're good. You're good. No, I'm glad.
So I will say this, and I've said this to a lot of people, and maybe, you know, I'll take heat for this later, and maybe the record will prove me right or wrong down the road. I truly believe this is going to be a no-cost impact to Connecticut municipalities. I believe that, and I'll state why quickly. All this pension offset language is doing is assuring that if I earned a pension benefit, whatever that pension benefit is, I should be entitled to receive that pension benefit. It's already been calculated. The pension fund's already set up to pay me that benefit. I worked my years of service, or I was injured on the job and I was entitled to this disability retirement. That's already preset. And then the permanent partial disability payment, the PPD offset, where the offset applies, that is a workers' comp benefit that every worker in the state of Connecticut's entitled to. It wouldn't matter if I had a pension or I didn't have a pension, I would be entitled to receive that payment. So in my opinion, all this language does is assures that I receive my pension benefit that I earned, and I receive my disability award from the state workers' comp system that I've earned for being injured. And that's it. There's no extra burden on municipalities. There's no extra payments that they're on the hook for. That's really all that this does.
But if this language wasn't put into place, Pete, would that mean that you'd have a harder time getting what you deserve? So what you just said makes sense. I'm just curious, if this language wasn't put in there, would that mean it's a much harder time for you and other firefighters to get those benefits?
Yes. It's already happened in many cases around the state. What's happened is, so hopefully this doesn't confuse my previous explanation. So how they handle those permanent partial disability awards usually is, mm-hmm, they put a value on it. Let's say that award is $75,000.
Okay.
Let's use round numbers. They'll pay that award out in increments of, say, $1,500 per week for the amount of time it takes to get to $75,000. So that would take a year. So you would get $1,500 a week for a 1 year period to get you to that $75,000 permanent partial award. And that's a large award. That's, mm-hmm, a serious injury. That's something pretty significant.
Yeah.
So what happens in a pension offset situation is, and this has happened to firefighters across the state, for that 1 year period where they're receiving that permanent partial disability award, in many cases, those firefighters are receiving no pension at all. They're only receiving that award money, and they're not receiving the benefit that they've earned in a disability pension.
Wow.
Because the municipality has taken the position that, oh no, we can't double pay you. You're already getting money from workers' compensation. Even though, in our opinion, we believe that award is there to make a person whole for being disabled on the job. Any job,
right.
Any position, anything they do across the state.
So, Pete, I have a couple.
That's happened.
Okay, so I have a couple quick questions. First of all, so it sounds like you don't worry overall about abuse of this benefit, because, of course, that is one of the concerns is, you know, do we see then people abuse this?
No, not at all. So, and actually what I think what this does is it clarifies, again, to add another layer to this, to have your head spinning when this is all over. So the pension offset language will remain, and it can be applied to workers' comp wages that are paid. So that's where it really gets a little technical. So there could be a scenario where if I'm significantly injured at work and I'm receiving the wages and healthcare treatment through workers' compensation, that injury may be so severe that they know right from the beginning that they'll say, listen, you're significantly injured. You had a firefighter fall off a roof, whatever it may be.
Right.
You're never going to go back to work. We know that from day one. We need to just pension you off. You're never going to be able to be a firefighter again. We know that pretty clearly. So there's situations where that firefighter is pensioned off very early on, is still going to receive the full workers' compensation benefits because they're obviously completely disabled. They're still going through treatment, still need surgery, still need all those things. They're receiving pay from workers' compensation. During that period of time, their pension would be offset because they're already getting paid through the workers' compensation system. They don't need to receive their pension. Mm-hmm. So in those cases, the pension offset is completely reasonable and should apply, and it does. So like I said, all this does is clarify the difference between workers' comp wages and workers' comp awards.
Yeah. Well, and better protections, I would think, in place for firefighters. So I'm getting that. I'm better understanding that, Pete. My last question, though, really quick, does this support volunteer firefighters or just career? I would imagine just career, right?
Yeah. In this case, this would be just career because in most cases, a volunteer firefighter wouldn't have access to a disability retirement benefit or pension. Maybe some do, actually, because, again, each volunteer department is structured a little bit different. I know some do payments. Some do tax breaks for their fire. Some let them earn credits for years of service. So there could be a scenario where this does apply because volunteer firefighters do get hurt at fires or on the job, and they are entitled to workers' compensation benefits when they're injured performing their firefighting duties. So
okay.
They're potentially, but usually not, I would say.
The only reason I was asking that, Pete, was because one of the reasons a state lawmaker, was for this or voted in favor of this was he was saying, you know, it is part of a bigger effort to try and recruit and retain firefighters. And when I was reading about this, I thought, okay, maybe career, but our bigger issue is trying to get volunteer firefighters. Like we are at a huge deficit of volunteer firefighters. So I just didn't know if that argument even really applied to say, oh yeah, and on top of this is really going to help us bolster our number of volunteer firefighters. And I thought that's a little bit of a stretch. And it even sounds like you're kind of saying that, but it could, you know, apply to some, but it's really going to be a bigger deal for career firefighters, I would think. Pete, unfortunately, we've run out of time. I probably should have just given you an entire hour to explain this because I know it's complicated, but I appreciate you coming on and talking us through this and really helping us to understand the other side of it. And certainly, I think it's probably worth having more conversations surrounding this. But thank you so much for giving us the time again. Peter Brown, who is the president of the Uniformed Professional Firefighters Association of Connecticut, right here on WICC. We'll talk again soon, Pete. Thank you so much.